Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino, back again to talk with you about all the week's most interesting news stories here on September 1st, 2021, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, very exciting here to mark the start of September here. It's officially pumpkin spice season. It's officially time for all of your fall stories here on News AF. And here with a man who has let his hair down today to talk about the news.
Oh, let me see.
It is Tyson Apostles. Tyson, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I wasn't sure if it was me or Danny, because Danny's hair is probably down too. It's just nice and trim. I'm stoked about fall. We had rain last night, and you know, in Arizona, any day that it rains is a good day.
That is a
unfortunately
good day.
That rain instantly disappears into the parched earth.
Mm-hmm. I also was looking at properties in North Carolina.
What?
I could buy like 7 properties for how much I bought my house here, dude. I gotta like,
you're moving in?
Oh wow!
You have like a summer home.
I just got to make this dollar last, bro. Mm-hmm. So, not 7 houses, but definitely cheaper than what Arizona is.
So you're planning on buying 1 to 7 houses. You just don't know how many yet.
Yes. Maybe 7 houses and then tape them together.
Oh, this is very exciting.
Yeah. I have no plans to move, but I think that that's our contingency plan. If the bottom falls out, we at least have some equity in our home to sell and move to North Carolina.
Okay. All right. Well, we will welcome you, Tyson.
So, really smart move, Rob. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm happy to hear it. I like the reassurance.
Yeah. If it were solely up to me, I probably would have done something similar.
Would you donate one of your 7 North Carolina houses to this man? Of course, the eye in the sky, Danny Bryson.
And by yes, I mean no. His family has enough money that he should be able to
buy their
afford
own
his
houses.
Own
yes.
North Carolina house.
Yes.
But he can come and stay in one of them whenever
guest
he...
House.
So generous.
Yeah.
So giving. What's up, guys?
Hi, Danny.
Things are good. I know you're going to ask anyway. Mm-hmm. What have I been doing? Stuff.
Oh, I like
adventures.
Danny interviewing himself.
Yeah.
I do
like that, too.
When I work, I just wander around. I putter around at work and just talk to myself because I'm alone the whole day.
And are you puttering around on foot? Are you puttering around in a Ranger? What's going on?
I'm driving, I'm driving side-by-sides, Rangers. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to fix things I have no business fixing. Yesterday, I caused a battery to start smoking, and then I was worried that if I picked it up, it was all bulging and smoking.
The battery, it would look cool.
It was bulging? And I thought, this is going to explode in my face, but I need to get out of this vehicle
acid
before it catches the vehicle on fire. I'd never seen that before. So my job, and I'm all by myself when I work.
Yep.
And so my job is doing really dangerous things the wrong way. And then somehow I come home every day totally safe. Rolling the dice.
I love it. I remember a time when
we have started a fire, Tyson.
We've started a fire on burned a snowcat grooming machine all the way to the ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Completely burned it out. And so that's just like what Tyson experienced is the worst case scenario for me at work, which is things do catch fire and burn to the ground. Normally I stop them around the smoking phase.
Yeah.
Is what I would say.
Huh.
So like I had to start a bunch of water heaters and wall heaters, propane.
Yep.
And I just kept thinking, if this water heater explodes, because it was making weird noises and I'm not qualified to really do any of this work, that if this explodes, I've seen videos of water heaters exploding. They decimate houses. And these are just tiny little cabins. I thought, I'm gone. Nobody's going to find my carcass. It'll be atomized.
The water heaters that explode decimate houses?
Have you ever seen a water heater that's blown up a house?
No.
It like tears off the roof and opens up the floor plan.
I'm right through the wall of my water heater. Should I be getting away from that?
Well, you can't escape it. You need it there. And there are safety mechanisms.
Is it tankless, Tyson?
I don't know. Should it be?
The thing is, once you've seen one video of a water heater exploding, then whenever you work on a water heater And it's just your ignorance is what causes the fear. And you hear all those bubbling noises and like the metal crackling because it's expanding. You're like, something's going on inside that. And as far as I'm concerned, it's just priming itself for an explosion.
And at that point, are you like, have made peace with dying?
I've made peace with it because I'm right next to it trying to light a pilot. So I've probably got tons of gas in the room and I've got a lighter and I've got the propane wall heater open. I've been dumping gas because I think there's air in the hose. It's just like, every day is a miracle that I'm still alive.
It really is. It really is a miracle.
It's good to be here. If anything, I thought I was going to be disfigured by that exploding battery, but I'm here.
Now I'm all nervous about my water heater. What should I be doing?
Don't be, because think about the millions of water heaters in homes. Yeah. It's just once you see a video of a water heater exploding or you see the aftermath, then you get this, it's not logical, this fear that you get that they could explode because it could do real damage.
Danny, I would imagine the majority of water heaters that explode are really old, decrepit water heaters. Not like Tyson would have in his home that is less than a few years old.
Yeah, they have built-in pressure release things. Yeah. They're probably either people have been tinkering with them and modifying them.
That's not
putting them in the wrong place.
Yeah, that's not me at all. You know, I'm the first one to not tinker with anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my job demands that I tinker all the time because to go get tools or to go get parts is at least a 3-hour drive.
Arizona water already comes into his house preheated. His water heater really does, dude.
In the summer, you can turn off your water heater all the way off if you want.
In Arizona, Tyson, correct me if I'm wrong. I bet if you have to wait at least 5 minutes to get that hose water down to.
You need a water cooler.
No, this house is okay. It's manageable. Our last house that we were renting in the middle of the summer, I had to put ice in the kids' baths to bring the temperature down enough to even get in for the kids.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I would.
Jeez, it sounds like you're living on the surface of the sun.
I mean, it's not far off. Also, Danny, I lit my whole barbecue on fire.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because what I do is I scrape the old stuff off of the grill and let it just drop into the cage below. And then I light it again. And all of that stuff started up at once. And it was a huge flame ball. And both girls were like, I got to come out and see. I was like, do not. And the hose is right next. Like I had to put my face literally like 6 inches away from this flaming barbecue to grab the hose. And then. I put it out and it was a raging, fire.
Singed off your moneymaker. That beautiful face of yours.
Well, if that propane tank would have gotten hot enough, because the propane tank was right there.
Have you ever thrown at scout camp or at camp? We used to throw those little propane tanks into the fire. You know, those little green ones.
Yeah. No, I've never seen that. What does it do?
Oh, well, actually, a lot of times it just ruptures because they also have safety valves. But every now and then you can get some propane tanks to explode.
Wow.
It just shoots out like a, you know, like an afterburner on a jet.
Does it shoot the whole mechanism across the ground or?
Honestly, my memory is that some will explode and that some will release a safety valve that then shoots a blue flame at high intensity for a while until all the gas has been expelled, which is a good sign, right? Now you can,
that's great. You can feel I don't feel as bad. Yeah. Cause I always picture, even when I hold one of those things, I picture the whole thing exploding.
Because movies have made it so,
everything explodes.
Everything explodes. That's that's the
great thing. I don't want to
Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Cause everything glorifying blows up.
Explosions.
Dude, it's not the way to live.
No.
Explosion porn.
Mm-hmm. And now explosion phobia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's gross. I prefer implosions.
Yeah. Where everything just disappears implosions. And there's no mess.
It's neat. It's neat. That,
it's
you know,
black hole. Like
nice black hole. Yeah,
I watch, you know, on YouTube, that's like my meditation. I watch implosion videos.
I don't even know where you would watch that.
YouTube. I just told you, Danny.
Yeah. But how are they imploding? Imploding? Can you make something implode?
Oh, you can implode, baby.
Yeah, you don't think you can implode?
Mm-hmm.
If you burp and fart at the same time, that's too much gases being pushed out. Sucks you right into a
black
hole.
You're right. The sudden release or vacuuming of gas, you can implode cans and stuff like that. That's true.
Sure. Yeah. It's very fulfilling. Okay. All right, let's talk about a new study that's out, which might change the face of podcasting, or at least the sound of it, because, you know, we've heard for years that communication is very important in a relationship, but scientists from the American Institute of Physics are saying that men who speak less clearly or mumble are more attractive to the opposite sex because it's a sign of masculinity.
Scientists said this, huh? It kind of makes sense. Let's say you're a woman and you hear a guy mumbling. It's kind of like interpreting an art piece. It can be whatever you want. It's like cloud watching, right? Mm-hmm. You can hear him tell you all the things you want to hear him tell you. If you just focus hard enough, those words that he's mumbling can be so sweet and encouraging and sexy.
My dad is not necessarily he kind of mumbles and trails off a little bit, but he's very quiet a lot of times too. Danny's had some communications with him.
Man, I've sat in the car with him for a time just with him.
And how sexy did you find his
mumbling?
It was
so awkward. Not because it was super sexy, just because like I need talking to be happening.
Yeah. And my dad is the strong silent type.
He doesn't need it. Yeah, he's a strong silent type. Maybe that's what they're confusing here, Rob, is mumbling with like the strong silent type.
I'm not sure, but what they're saying is that men that have less clear speech are more attractive. Tyson, was this some of the appeal of JT when you were on Survivor Token Machines?
It must have been, because I mean, we didn't have the
Steven speaks very clearly.
He does, and he lost in a clean sweep. So, I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense to me at this point. I'm going to definitely try mumbling more, see if we can't put some spark back into mine and Rachel's relationship.
Oh, mumbling in the bedroom?
Yeah. That's everywhere. That's the key.
I'm going to mumble everywhere, though.
Right.
Just mumble a trail off and then carry on about my day.
But I have found in my conversation with my wife, if I am not speaking clearly, I get a lot of what did you say? What are you saying?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I get yelled at.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Okay. I don't believe this study.
You think it's done by survey people or what?
Well, it's from study finds, but Rob did mention scientist. He said the word, I think, research. Mm-hmm. And so it had a lot of polish to it. But who knows who these scientists were? Who funds them? What big company is behind this? Who benefits from this study?
So it was this is from the Journal of Acoustal Society of America.
Never even heard of them. Acoustal.
From a sexual selection standpoint, males with traits that are slightly more masculine than average are typically preferred. That's not my study.
The guy who has the low booming voice, you know, who was the guy who played Moses?
Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston. Yes.
Dude, if you can Heston a crowd, I get you. I guarantee you're being found more attractive.
But I think that even like a low voice, which is like a, hey, what's going on? I think that would be considered more mumbly. Okay.
That sounded kind of like a Tyson impression.
That did kind of sound sexy, Rob.
If you were like overly enunciating and pronouncing every syllable,
you're a snob.
Yeah. And maybe. You know what? Also, I think if you are taking that sort of careful caution with like each word to make sure everything is heard, like sometimes I'm wondering if maybe the women are saying you know what, now that I've heard everything that this person has to say, they are incredibly much less attractive than the person that I really wasn't hearing everything they had to say.
Let's have Tyson do some mumbling and then just ask if anyone feels aroused.
I don't really know what
you sound drunk.
I have to listen more intently.
Okay, go keep going. Sorry,
now
Tyson,
I have
go
to
again.
Fix my gaze and focus more on his mouth.
His eyes.
I mean, if you don't
body language.
Yeah, true. Okay, smart.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not more attracted to Tyson. Maybe that's because
attracted
that
to me.
Peak attractiveness all the time.
Well, also I think the thing that attracts Danny to me in the first place is my wisdom, my humor, my wit.
Yes.
And so when you take all of those things away, or he has to hyper focus to catch, he has to hyper focus on what I'm saying, because a lot of times it's like an onion, you have to peel it. But then on top of that, after my clever wit is on top of that, he still has to also figure out what I'm saying. So now there's two really tricky brain games Danny has to play with himself.
Yeah. And I like Tyson because of the things he said, the things he says, I'm not willing to say. Right. And that's what's entertaining. But because in a crowd, you'll say something that makes everyone feel awkward, which is great. I would never say that. That's what I find entertaining. But if you mumbled it, then all those people that I enjoyed watching you make them feel awkward, now it's like I kind of lose that. So a mumbling Tyson is only half as valuable as a loud, boisterous Tyson as he currently is.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, interestingly, it flips when they surveyed the men talking about women, because they had women also take this study. And what they found was there was a definitely a correlation between the pronunciation of all of the vowels and what the men found to be vocal attractiveness, which I think that over the years, many people have commented on Danny's vocal attractiveness.
Ooh. Correct. Yes.
And they said fat voice.
Yes.
And vocal attractiveness.
Yes. Yes. And so it seems like that the men that they studied found the women who had the proper pronunciation to have a higher vocal attractiveness than women who mumble.
I wonder why. Like, what aspect of that clear, precise speech do men, like, where did that come from?
I don't know.
Because women, I don't know if you know this, a lot of people do what's known as vocal fry. And I would have thought that maybe that would get mentioned because so many women do it. You'd think it must be some kind of an attractant.
I'm just not sure if that is considered part of pronunciation versus mumbling. But
it is, because it kind of slides out. It's kind of like at the very end of the sentence, kind of just grind it out. But I don't know. I'm going to focus more on Liz's speech. I'm going to see if she is pronouncing everything appropriately. And if not, I guess it's time to terminate.
Yep.
Maybe find someone a little bit more, you know, rigorous in their speech.
Yeah. I'm just very confused about this because I feel like that, you know, in practice, my mumbling, you know, I feel like that what you would think that because I'm on a podcast, I tend to think I don't do a lot of mumbling on a podcast, but I'm sure you, the listener, are a better judge of that. But I feel like that, I guess when I'm on a podcast, I'm far more intentional about what I'm about to say, whereas that I, in real life, I feel like more often than not, I start a sentence, I'm like, oh, I don't like where this is going, so I'm just...
Yes!
Fine. Yeah.
Yes! That is so true.
Or also, it's not worth having this conversation right now.
Also, great point. Yeah, both those things. I experienced
what were you going to say? What were you like? No,
never mind. Yeah.
Start off totally confident in how awesome what you're about to say will be to that person. And then halfway through, you're like, yeah, this sucks. And so instead of just like terminating it and walking away, you mumble and then you stop it.
Yeah. So I do think a lot of this has to do with that. If these women that were studied heard what the men were going to say, that they would be turned off. But I think that a lot of these men are being saved by the mumbling, where I think the women are sort of guessing what they might be saying and maybe guessing.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will mumble more. Let's all try to mumble more this week and see where it gets us.
Let's check in with a story that maybe this is like a year back that we talked about this about the
maybe more.
Battle between the parents and the son of the young man who was living at home until his parents threw away their 43-year-old son's treasure trove of pornography. And so he took his parents to court.
Yeah, the exciting conclusion. By the way, we have tracked this story
day in and day out.
In the middle, And now here it is. It's gone through all the litigation, and what an exciting precedent for those all those man-childs living in the, you know, their parents' basement. Now they have some protection for those boxes and boxes of super valuable.
Think twice before you throw away.
Yeah, parents everywhere.
Your children's collection of pornography. So, yeah, this is from the New York Post, who are saying that a judge is ordering the parents to pay $45,000. Now, I'm not sure if that is totally to make. Is that
emotional?
All just, restitution, or are there damages involved?
If you remember, he said, and this is something that this is a case that's really stuck with me. I've been following it. I hope they talk about it at Harvard Law School. He said that it was super valuable, rare collection of items. And so this wasn't just in your average, you know, subscription to whatever magazine you prefer. This was a lot of rare, valuable things, and the parents just threw it away.
This is what if this were the outcome and I were the judge, but I couldn't determine this outcome, this was the outcome, I would say, but all $45,000 of that has to be spent on pornography and sex toys.
I was a parent.
Yeah.
You can't venture outside of that. You can't use it for anything else. You can't use it for groceries or anything. Yeah. This is what you have to spend it on.
So the article here says that, so it's $30,441 to repay for the treasure trove of pornography, and $14,519 to repay the legal fees. But I'm having a hard time with this article. Who opens up this story? Judge orders parents to pay $45K for tossing son's porn sex toy collection. The author, Mark Lungiarello, opens it up. He had a real boner to pick with his parents.
This guy.
Is that the correct usage? That's,
I guess, no. And then also, I do like that the federal judge ordered Beth and Paul Working to pay $30,441 for their 43-year-old son David's discarded and, in quotes, trove of pornography.
And sex toys.
And sex toys, a report says. Mm-hmm. So I love how he's throwing in these little.
They should have hidden his collection in the mountains.
Also, they'll also have to pay their sleaze enthusiast son's attorney $14,500.
Well, that attorney has earned every penny. And in this whole thing, he's the happiest person.
Yes. And so that the dozen boxes of items included films, magazines, and sex toys, but they couldn't value 107 items on the son's list of items.
They're invaluable.
This 43-year-old man has no shame. There's no shame in his game, because he would not only had, you know, took this, like, if somebody, like, if I had some sort of a collection of pornography, which I do not, and I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, okay? But I don't. Let me just tell you that I don't think that would fly at my house. The boxes, like the storage unit of pornography.
Tyson keeps his in safe deposit boxes in the bank.
That's smart.
Because you never know what's going to really. I mean, trading cards have spiked. Everything's NFTs are going berserko right now. Everything's crushing. Yeah. I think.
But to itemize the list is, I mean, this is like, this man is organized.
I had a neighbor who they had VHS cassette tapes. But they had printed out lists of every tape. They had it very organized. And that's kind of what I picture for this guy. He probably had printed lists. He probably had the Dewey Decimal System. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you'd go to that little card thing and open it up and peel it back. And then
the little
find out on the Dewey Decimal System where that
which toy you want, tape where is to located.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's also very important to remember and to get in your head. This man is as old as us. He's our age. He's your age, Rob. He's your age, Danny. He's my age.
We can really get in, by the way, a year older.
He's a year older.
He started this battle years ago. And
maybe he's a porn collector.
What was Thanksgiving like and Christmas like?
You think he was still there?
I swear he was probably still in his parents' basement.
Well, Christmas was probably awkward because mom and dad were like, all right.
What do you want for Christmas? All of my porn back?
Every time they ask anything, like, what would you like for this or that? He's like, this is just his go-to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a big win for this guy. I don't know what he's going to do with the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what he's going to do with this money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in the chat are saying that, charge him for food or rent, et cetera, throw him out of the house. I don't know what the squatter's rights regulations and rules and laws are in that situation.
Yeah. So interestingly, this man, his name is David Working.
Everybody find him on social media.
Working with an E. So he moved in with his parents after his 2016 divorce. I'm not sure if his ex-wife was called to the stand to talk about any of this. But he moved in to his parents' house with all of his stuff. And he was waiting to then move into another place. But then that his parents, quote unquote, did him a big favor by getting rid of all this stuff.
Could you imagine being the neighbor who's like, hey, you're new in the neighborhood. I'd like to help move you in. And you're like, oh, what's this box? Like, don't look in that box. Mm-hmm. But you get a peek and then you notice that there's like 12 other boxes labeled the exact same way. Mm-hmm. I would find a little disturbing if I was helping my neighbor move in and they had 12, more than a dozen boxes of basically filth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh, cool. Going to point my porch camera right at your house and just keep an eye. It would just be disturbing. Someone had to move those boxes. Hopefully his dad made him do it. I definitely would want to pick one up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that is the story. Parents, think twice before you throw out your adult children's pornography collection. That's the lesson here.
There's a good chance if your child is over 40 and living in your basement,
he has multiple boxes. Yeah. You should question all those unopened cardboard boxes.
He should definitely be checking the bottom of his clothing drawers, etc. everywhere.
Tyson, when he got the $30,000 from mom and dad, you think that he puts that money back all into pornography?
I think he should, by law, have to. Mm-hmm. I don't think he should be allowed to
big pornography budget.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think he should, and I think it should have to be immediate, like right this second. You have to spend $30,000.
Like a Brewster's Millions of can you spend $30,000 on pornography?
Yeah, if you do, though, if he spends all that money on that, we're going to read a story 6 months now. Man found entombed in his own filth.
And, I mean, maybe you could buy like the robot girlfriend at that point.
That's a good idea. That's a way better investment.
Like maybe like first edition Playboy or some collector's thing that's NFT. Like actually worth something.
I'm with Rob. Leap into the future. Get something.
Okay. Don't dwell in the past. Leap into the future.
Leap into the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck to this gentleman.
Yeah. I don't know if he's a gentleman.
And his seemingly quite patient parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they weren't that patient because they said all this stuff.
Threw it all away.
Oh, I mean, but like, let's put yourself in that situation with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
If you were 42 living with your parents, they're there. They stumble upon these boxes and boxes of stuff. How does it look?
I mean, not great. I think probably.
My dad's tossing it all for sure.
Oh,
changing the locks on the doors, taking whatever he's given to me and wishing me good luck.
What are you telling your dad, Tyson? It's not mine. It's Danny's.
Yeah,
I'm holding
exactly.
It for
100%. Yeah. Danny's parents don't understand his.
You know how much he talks, Dad? He must be hiding something.
His sexual satiation. He can't hide it. And he's trying to from his parents.
An unquenchable thirst.
It's unbridled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Danny, how about you?
I can't wait to check in on this guy 10 years from now. I'm so interested in what he'll be doing.
Really? I think it's the same. He'll just be building forts with the boxes and boxes of pornography he now owns. Danny, your parents.
Oh, same. In. I already said. It's gone.
Donezo.
I picture it like the dad walks into the storage room and there's something on the floor. He reaches down, picks it up, gets a good look. And just like in one of those Marvel movies, he goes to put it back in the box, notices it's full of toys and looks down the aisle of the storage unit, boxes and boxes and boxes. And then you fade out.
And then Danny becomes a man of the mountains.
Can't keep all that in a cave.
Okay.
Well, let's bring in a story that made headlines this week about a school board meeting from the state of Virginia, where at a recent school board meeting that there were attendance was taken. And let's go ahead, let's bring in the audio of this so you can hear some of the names on the roll call that they were looking to bring to this meeting of the Virginia school board. Here we go. Let me know if you can hear this.
I can.
All right, let's hear it.
Phil McCracken.
Here.
Salk. Souk. Mahidic.
What's that one, Danny?
Suck my
Okay. Souk.
Keep going.
Okay.
Souk Mahidic.
What's that one, Danny?
I didn't hear that one. Okay. I read them all in the article I read, but I couldn't hear that.
Souk Mahidic.
Luke?
Just keep going. Let's get to the best one.
Ophelia McHawk.
Ophelia?
McHawk. Okay.
Ophelia McHawk. Eileen Dover.
Okay, that's a classic.
That one is classic. It's so hard.
Eileen Dover. Don Kiedick.
That's the best one. He did a good job of reading it, though. I read that to my wife several times trying to avoid it.
Don Kiedick?
Don Kiedick.
Don Kiedick.
I could not read that and not hear it, but he actually did a great job.
Yeah.
Don Kiedick.
Mm-hmm.
Great job.
Wayne Kerr.
So this guy was actually a good sport about the whole thing, that he said that, look, the world has a lot of issues right now. If people can like have some laughs at his expense, then he was fine.
Better than getting berated. I think I'd much rather read names all day long that make me look foolish than get yelled at. I read that list of names to Liz without hearing the audio. And I don't I just can't. There's a couple of them that, like, Eileen Dover is so obvious that nobody caught on the entire school board.
No, the school board's hearing it. The school board is definitely hearing it. But at what point do you run up and stop it all? And that's what I think. I think you just, like,
well, they're sitting right next to the guy, like, right, leaned over and said, "Hey, let me see this list."
Here's the gambit, okay? Like, let's say you're up there, you hear Phil McCracken, and, like, are you the person who's like, stop the meeting?
No. But first,
is there a problem here? Like, yes, the room identifies Mr. McCracken.
No, I hear Phil McCracken and that perks my ears, right? Because now I'm listening.
Okay.
When I hear Eileen Dover, what was the other?
Don Kiedick.
Ophelia McCock.
Souk Mahidic. That's when I'm like, okay, dude, let me see that list. All right. And then I look at the rest and then I see Don Kiedick. I can't even say that without blushing.
Yeah.
But
Wayne Kerr, could you please stand up? All right. That's it.
I think that I would like to believe I'd be able to stop that, be the hero. but maybe I wouldn't like, I would just want to hear the rest. Like, oh, this is interesting.
You would want to hear the rest.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of look around the room and gauge everyone's reaction, because that's when you either step in or just let it roll, because maybe people are more upset if you just let it, if you stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be like, hey, I'm interested in hearing the rest of these names, please.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What's that dick four prank you play on people? Hey, you got a dick four.
Yeah.
Isn't, have you guys ever heard that one? I remember it was big. And then
it's the same as the you've got sup all over your shirt. Mm-hmm. Except for.
And what's a dick four? And you go, it's for being with.
We got it.
Yeah. Yeah. We understand.
Well, no, but not everybody got to experience that joke.
That's true. I've used some of these names in my past when I worked at a ski resort. We have to, like, so this was pre-cell phone usage. And so you'd put on the board people's names and they announce them.
Yeah.
And so I'd call in as a fake and just be like, hey, here I am from the administration's building. Here's the four names you got to put on the signs and announce sporadically across the resort. Here they are. Don Kedek was definitely one of them that we used quite often.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you some of these places that make announcements like that, because they still do, like so-and-so, you know, go to the lost and found. I wonder if they have some AI that filters the name to check for any kind of innuendo.
Or do you have to be trained? Like, you go into a room and they're like, okay, we need you to filter these calls. And they're like, okay. And then they're like, okay, let's see. And then they just pepper your entire interview with sexual innuendo. Mm. And if you laugh, you got the job. But if it goes over your head, they're like, never mind, you are not going to help us at all.
All right. Well, let's see if the school board pranking continues to be a phenomenon here. But let the school board people do their work. Come on.
Yeah,
you got a lot of problems.
That is true.
Right. Okay. Meanwhile, we've talked a lot about weddings over the years here on News AF. One Chicago couple decided, after people RSVP'd to their wedding and stood up, they decided to send invoices to the no-show wedding guests for the price of their plate, including a full invoice, according to a post on the popular website, Facebook.com.
I like this play. I don't mind this play. I have.
How much was the bill for? $240.
$240. Well, so that was two plates at $120 a pop.
Yeah. I mean, sure, if you don't know, but it is annoying to have people RSVP and not show up, because you are then paying for that meal for those people. And then to have them not show up is something that you could have just not paid for. Mm-hmm, so, I get it. I get the frustration of it. Are these people going to pay? They may not. Or are you taking a survey right now?
I'm trying to make this survey thing close so I could show you the whole thing. Yeah.
I think that probably what happened is one part of the couple agreed to go to the wedding without talking to the other. And then the day came and they were like, hey, we're going to so-and-so's wedding. No, I don't want to go. And then they just bailed. That's a generous take on what probably happened.
So here's the invoice that some highlights here. I like the invoice number 000001 from Doug and Dedra that they give a 30-day notice to pay. This is for a no-call, no-show guest. And there's a note that says, this invoice is being sent to you because you confirmed seats, plural, at the wedding reception during the final headcount. The amount above shows the cost of your individual seats, new sentence, because you didn't call or give us proper notice that you wouldn't be in attendance. This amount is what you owe us for paying for your seats in advance. You could pay via Zelle or PayPal. Please reach out to let us know which method of payment works for you. Thank you.
I guess you can put a price on friendship. Because $240, that's when a lot of people get this invoice, that's going to be it.
Yeah, it is definitely going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely going to, I mean, maybe not an end to the friendship, but definitely like a huge step back.
Except for all the least aware people, self-aware people.
No, I think. End. Okay, so let's say that, first of all,
$240 is a lot.
I know, but you also, your friend whose wedding it was, paid that amount for those plates that you ended up not being there to consume.
Dude, it's like a stinky fart. Every time you go into the room with them, that's going to be lingering.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree for sure. On both parties, actually. And so I think it puts a huge damper and a wedge between, but I don't think it's like the end of ever seeing each other.
This is the kind of idea you should have slept on. This is an idea that was done at 2 a.m.
Yep. Take
this
the invoice, put it in the drawer for 5 days.
Or the wife or the husband, whichever one wasn't close friends with the party involved, was like, just charge them. I mean, it's ridiculous. They didn't show up. It cost us money.
You're cashing out on the friendship at that point.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'll take the $250.
I never want to see you again.
It's worth more.
Yeah.
And our continued friendship.
Now, what happens if they don't pay the invoice? Is there a photo like that?
Oh, I know. Hey, you get the lawyer for the porn kid.
Hi, this is Doug and Deidre. We're just calling about our invoice, which is now past due. Would you like
you
to make
sell
a payment
it to
over
collections?
The phone? Yeah.
Sell it to collections for $100.
Collections.
Yeah.
Going to collections, that's really the end. Mm-hmm. When you've been sent to collections by your friend for not attending their wedding,
not for not attending for their wedding, for RSVPing and then
everybody knows not attending after RSVPing.
Yeah.
That is the nail in the coffin. If the friendship was still on life support, you've just pulled the plug.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair,
yeah,
I RSVP'd to a wedding once and I didn't go. And I do think it bothered the person getting married that I did not show up. And if it would have made them feel better that I paid for my plate that was probably there for me, I would do that and it would be fine.
Okay.
If only problems could be solved with money.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying they never problems. Can?
Oh. Some can, but friendship problems, you just
I
buy
think
off
this would have. I think this resentment. Would have a little bit.
It'd go a long way.
I mean, we're still friends, but
weddings are stupid. And throwing expensive weddings with expensive food is stupid. And so everyone involved in the story, they've all committed some, they've all done something wrong. I mean, really, Domino's Pizza at in a park.
Okay. Yours wasn't that though.
Not even gonna last. Yeah, but that wasn't by my choice. I didn't want to have anything fancy. A Domino's pizza in the park would have been fine with me.
That
would
have been awesome.
Instead,
dude.
I had
Liz and Danny invite you to the park for a day of Domino's pizza.
Don't even rent the park. Just let whoever's there.
Everybody's
be there.
Happy. You got married. That's exciting.
Everybody gets pizza.
Nobody had to dress up. Everyone got pizza. Most people.
But it is Domino's.
Hey, Tyson, what's going on? This is Danny. You said that you were coming, and we didn't see you there, so you owe us $4.50. For your part of the
See,
pizza.
Look, that's acceptable. I wasn't there. Only $12. You know what? Consider this my wedding present.
No,
$12.
At that point, it's such a small nominal fee that also the person doesn't care.
No friendship has broken up over $12 that I know of.
I disagree. I'm sure it has.
I said that I know of. I do that at the very end to cover myself.
So, but yeah, I like that. I think actually, Danny, if you and Liz ever renew your vows for the sake of love, that's what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I will be encouraging all my kids, like, hey, don't, it's so stupid. And then I'll get yelled at for calling things stupid. Like, it's their special day.
That's why
like,
you should be mumbling, Danny. Say the same thing, but mumble.
I always say, look, we're there for a wedding. The only important thing that happens at a wedding is the actual wedding part where they get joined. Isn't that why we're all celebrating this? Domino's pizza is fine. In the park is fine. These things aren't as important as the actual event. Mm-hmm. If that's really, if that's really what you believe, then you shouldn't care about all the other stupid stuff.
Okay. Danny's a romantic.
He really is.
Liz is a lucky girl.
Lucky lady.
Danny is, he's very...
Only he wouldn't talk so clearly.
I just got in a huge argument with a lot of my family members over trying to cancel. We have a pixie gift, like a Secret Santa thing.
Yeah.
And I sent out a text saying we should cancel it for anyone over the age of 18. And I got a lot of
bad feedback.
You
got to keep up with that, because I did the same thing with Rachel's family.
And did you eventually prevail?
Yes, for a decade.
A decade. I'm just starting my efforts now. So
that's what I'm saying. It probably took like 5 or 6 years when I finally was just like, let's just not do this. So what it was is that every adult had to be a participant in it. And it was a $50 limit. And I said, why don't you save your $50 and I'll save my $50. Yeah. And instead of us giving each other garbage at the $50 price point, let's just keep our $50.
Yeah, these are all similar to my arguments. Mm-hmm. And this would be my argument with weddings too, you know, to avoid $240 invoices.
But you're lucky, though. It's just like, but you have to just buy one gift, right? And then everybody's picking one out?
Not for us. For us, it's a whole month of December dropping things off at their house. Or three. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's completely out of control.
It's September 1st. I'm like, oh, it's going to be Christmas so soon. It's September 1st. You blink and it's going to be, oh, I got to buy gifts for this people.
It's out of control.
Just send me an invoice for what I owe you. Okay?
Thank you. Maybe we should do more invoicing. Oh, that's a good idea. Just invoice people. Buy your own presents. Send invoices to the people. Like, hey, I got myself.
Can I no-show Christmas this year?
Yeah, go for it. Let's start it. It's got to start somewhere. That's what I was thinking yesterday before I sent out the text. This has to start somewhere. And you know what? Let's just do it. Let's right the ship that is Christmas. Let's start right now, get people involved, and slowly turn it away from all the gift giving that no one wants to do, the orgy of capitalism, materialism, and let's just steer it back to simpler times.
New York gifts. Of capitalism. Yeah. Okay. Last week on the show, we talked about how there are sea snakes in Australia. It's mating season, and they have been trying to get with all sorts of different scuba divers in and around Australia. This week, a paddleboarder named Brody Moss, who's an Australian filmmaker. Sounds a little bit like Danny Bryson. Yeah.
Yeah.
That he had a close encounter with a sea snake on his paddleboard that was looking for love.
Did he capture this on film?
Yes, this is captured on film and shared on the popular internet app called TikTok.
So here's my questions about this.
Yes.
Are we certain that these snakes are horny snakes and not...
Watch the video. Let's see
how horny this
just
snake looks.
Straight up again. Oh, okay. How intimidating is this?
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Look at this.
Yes.
The big old dog. Please. I
don't know. Yep.
Oh, I can already tell he's a YouTuber by how loud he is.
Yes.
Yep, he's a YouTuber.
Oh, I love that so much. He was just coming straight at me. What he's doing, this time of year, they're looking for a mate. And those old dogs, they don't have the advantage anymore over the young ones. So they get so, so frustrated. And if you're ever going to be bitten, that's the exact time you'll get bitten. So
there you go.
Okay.
So be careful out there.
I think it was scary. I didn't like that.
Yeah, they live in warm coastal waters. So be careful when you fill those bathtubs, Tyson.
Hey, Will, but we're not coastal.
Okay. Be careful.
So we should be fine.
Yes,
yeah.
But people are
Where's
out there
the nearest sea snake to me?
The sexually frustrated sea snakes.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get bitten, this is when.
The are olive they certain sea death? Snake.
Are they certain death if you get bit, or is it find the antidote and be fine?
Their bites have been known to be fatal, according to this article, but doesn't mean that they are always fatal.
Okay. Known to be fatal, meaning that they could potentially be. So, okay. Well, that was actually a pretty cool video. I like that.
That was better than I thought it would be.
Wish Nature with Tyson would have had that. I caught a little baby toad on my way to taking Bird to school today.
After seeing that,
no,
you know, I just saw a sea snake slither up onto a guy's paddleboard, dude. I'm worried about your toad.
Okay.
Danny Bryson, are you ready to take us to your bolt hole?
He better be.
Journey with me.
Okay. All right. So, without further ado, let me have Danny Bryson invite you into his world famous bolt hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
Should I mumble this whole bolt hole?
I mean, if you want the attractiveness scale to go through the roof.
Liz might get upset if I mumbled and then all these people are just like, sending me stuff and get out of control. Have you ever tried to, Rob, I know your boys play video games, right?
Yeah.
Do they?
They do.
Yeah.
Big video gamers.
My kids play video games. My boys do. Have you ever wished that they played it maybe a little bit less, or are you fine with the amount of time they play it?
No, that'd be good. I mean, I do appreciate the diversion.
Yes, of course. It's a great distraction. Yeah. My kids actually surprise. I know of kids. We've all seen the YouTube videos of people, you know, being told they can't play. It always happens in Russia or the Ukraine. Some kids getting their controller taken away and they freak out. So that can happen. My kids give it up pretty easy. Just tell them to stop and they get off the couch. They go do something else. But it would be kind of nice if you could get somebody else to tell your kids not to play. And in China, that's exactly what's taking place. The government this is on BBC and a number of other places have decided that gamers under 18 will only be allowed to play for an hour on Fridays, weekends, and holidays. And I thought, okay, excluding all the Chinese paranoia, spying on people stuff, the truth is, what better way as a parent, right? If you can bring in some faceless authority that is slightly terrifying and have them tell your kids, like, imagine if all the, yeah, not, hey, I want you to play. You think I want to give you things to do on a Saturday? Not my fault. I mean, how nice is this as a parent? And then a lot of those Russian videos, how nice would it be like, you know, Putin doesn't want you playing on Saturday. You want him to send his goons to our house? It would just be nice. You know, a lot of those videos would never have been created if you had a faceless, scary authority to kind of, you know,
so is this on. Is this just like, this is like their recommendation, but they're not going to enforce it, and there's no way to enforce it.
I think that China enforces it.
Think their consoles are just shutting down after?
They're requiring the game makers to limit it.
Wow!
And they called online gaming spiritual opium. So we found a new opium for the masses.
Yeah. Well, what if we
game playing?
I mean, just thinking outside the box. What if I just created 17 different profiles and played the game? Yeah. For
what if you have more than
hours?
One kid?
That's what I'm saying. If you have more than one kid, you can't play a game for an hour and be done because each kid needs its hour.
Yeah, but, you know, the kid makes a fake profile one day. The next day he disappears. Mm-hmm. No more kids in the neighborhood are making fake profiles.
Yeah.
Because
he just takes one. They're waiting for one to make an example of. They're just waiting for one to scare everybody.
It only takes one kid disappearing.
I don't love this because there are times that are on different days where you're like, oh, yeah, you can play a game for an hour or whatever. Like now you have to almost schedule in your video gaming.
Well, the crazy thing is that the science, at least some science, points to video games not being as damaging as a lot of parents want to believe. Yeah. So it actually helps develop a lot of skills that children can use. And so the idea of this weird gamer guy who's antisocial, that's a stereotype. And it sounds like the Chinese are kind of buying into it. Yeah, it'd be great if kids went outside. The people who really are going to pay for this are the parents, obviously.
Yeah.
Because whenever you're like, let's take away the kid's iPad, as a parent, I say,
yourself.
Why? Why do I have to be punished as well as deal with this kid's crap? It's like, if anything, we should give them two iPads so we have.
Well, so I'm also going time. To. Yeah, I'm also going to say that as someone whose parents did not let him play video games growing up.
Yeah.
Socially, I was missing out in a certain aspect of because A, yeah. I couldn't really play video games very good. And B, I didn't know like the conversations at school that were about the Mortal Kombat or whatever. I didn't even know what that was really. And third party.
What do you want to know about Mortal Kombat, Tyson? I can tell you everything
about
right
it now. Yeah. I went and watched a kid beat it on one quarter at the arcade. But like you put me in there, I'm not getting past the first guy ever. And so even now as an adult, I'm like, man, I wish I were better at video games and had at least gotten regrets. To play more often. Yeah.
Grandpa, but, what do you regret?
But I
never got to be Scorpion.
But I crush Mario Kart, and I've always crushed Mario Kart because I would.
You're a good natural
driver. You're a
one-trick
pony.
Yeah.
No, I would skip school and go play at my friend's house in high school.
I just wish that, and I don't wish this, but how many Chinese parents wish that the government would implement this in other ways? Maybe they do. Like, you know, if you could scare your kids into doing things like cleaning their room, flushing the toilet, you know, with the idea that the government is watching them. I don't really want them to be watched, but it would be kind of nice to have that boogeyman in your back pocket. Like, oh, you better flush the toilet after you take a crap and wash your hands.
We already have that. We have a couple boogeymans. Santa Claus. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's hard.
You got to weaponize Santa Claus more.
But but it's easier.
Lots
to weaponize
of different
the
religions
government.
Believe in a different entity that is also rewarding or punishing.
True.
Yeah, that's not going to motivate my kids to wash their hands or flush a toilet. There's nothing I can do to get.
Really? You couldn't write a fake letter from Santa and be like, hey, guys, Christmas canceled. You haven't been washing your hands and flushing your toilets.
I don't think my boys would care, which is unfortunate. I can't use Santa. But
do your kids love Disney? Is there something that your kids love that you could take away Disney. From them?
Their
video
mother?
Games? Video games?
No. Again, like I said, they could take it or leave it. I like it. They play it until I tell them not to, and then they just stop. If I told them they couldn't play for a week, they wouldn't care.
Well, then what do you have?
I know. As a parent, I'm grasping.
As a parent, then there's no reason you need to. But then why do you need to crush your kids into submission if they are already seem like they're quite submissive?
I'm not talking about my kids specifically, other than the flushing of the toilet.
So you think that a government dictatorship might help with that?
Well, I mean, if you could use it. As like the boogeyman that scares your kid into doing
government
things.
Might maybe get the kids to flush the toilet.
Like, see this mirror in the bathroom? I guess this would be too far. I would say it was like a two-way mirror and they're watching you, but that's not good.
My daughter, Bergen, my kids are both good kids, but my daughter, Bergen, cannot, out of pride's sake, say I'm sorry for any reason to anybody.
Did she mumble it?
Barely, and
I'll
that's
teach her to mumble
in someone's ear in private. So let's say that she had wronged you, Rob, in nothing. Like let's say she spilled
she
water on,
but didn't sprout. Come to your.
She
wedding.
Spilled water on your shoe, and I said, "Okay, will you just apologize to Rob? It's not a big deal, total accident. Just go ahead and just say, you know, I'm sorry, and then everything's better. That's all you have. It was an accident. Everybody understands. It's not no problem." She will prefer to go to her room and sob for 5 hours over the thought of having to apologize to anyone for anything.
Yeah.
So you want to use someone as like the, you know,
I don't think there's anything.
Throw someone under the bus and say, oh, they need you to do this.
It's, I mean,
or the men come.
No, but you also don't want to, use that. I mean, I guess. The Santa Claus thing for me has always been weird. Yeah. Like, oh, Santa Claus is mad at you or whatever. But then at the same time, Santa Claus gets all the accolades at Christmas. Like,
so
I'm paying for those toys.
So true.
So that's, I guess you're paying for to be able to use Santa, to weaponize Santa Claus.
Danny, at least with your family, that people know that you bought that gift. It's not like that's like, oh, what did Santa bring for everybody?
Yeah, Amber asks if I apologize to Bergen. No, I'm not going to apologize to Bergen for anything. I'm her dad. Of course I apologize to her. I apologize all the time. And Marlo is so good at apologizing.
Yeah,
she immediately apologizes, gives a hug, and it's all set. But Bergen, for some reason, has some weird social something that's not clicking for her.
I just think the kids are weird in that they believe they know everything already. And I think that goes on until they're in their 30s. And also,
for her, it's admitting wrongdoing. So down the road, legally, it might actually be smart of her to never apologize.
No, right now, it's total pride. Like when your kid says they know something, you're like, no, that. And we've had these discussions on this podcast before. It's tied into that same thing where they think they're always right. And so why would I apologize? I'm never wrong.
She'll know she's wrong sometimes. Like, she'll do something and then all of a sudden I'll find her in her room. I'm like, hey, did that happen? And she's like, yeah. I was like, okay, do you want to? And she was like, no, I will refuse. I was like, okay.
Well, sounds like you're raising a future Mussolini.
I mean, we're working on her. We're working on it with her and being patient. And, but like, she'll hurt her sister or something, like, hey, all you got to do is apologize. And then it's set. And Marlo will even be like, Bergen, I'm sorry that you spilled on me or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. So then she'll be like, I'll do it, but it has to be in my room in private. And I'm going to only whisper it in her ear so nobody can hear.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
You take that. You take it. Yeah.
Yeah, you take it.
But it's everything.
That's it. So wait.
Yeah.
Do you agree with this Chinese thing, Danny? Are you?
Oh, heck no. No way. But it's an interesting story for those of us who don't live in China. Mm-hmm. And an interesting idea.
There's no reason why you can't tell your kids, like, oh, hey, guess what? Our town just passed a law. Only 3 hours of video games a day. Not my call. I voted against it.
Other than when they grow up and find out you've been lying to them their entire lives. Let's recall the mayor.
But in the meantime, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Me and Phil McCracken are going down to the school board meeting to protest.
Me and Don Kedick.
Okay. Yeah. I guess you could use all those names too as the enforcers.
Sure. Sure.
So,
and the kids, it'll be funny for you, and your kids won't really know Phil McCracken.
And when they get older, they might actually laugh if you've used those names.
They might, but yeah, I had a niece who had a pure full-on meltdown when she found out that Santa Claus was a lie.
She really grew a lot that day.
You've been lying to me this whole time were her words. Yeah.
Well, we were lied to about salt. So,
what do you mean you were lied to about salt?
Yeah, what about salt?
They said salt was bad. Now they're like, salt's not as bad as you think. It's like all these
Hold things. Up, what? Salt's not as bad as we think?
Yeah.
So it won't raise our blood pressure?
It's not as bad. Remember, it was like salt was the big boogeyman.
It was, and I thought it still was.
Well, you can find articles, and I see them occasionally, about how salt's not as bad as we once thought it was. Mm. Or like butter, or any number of things that you were scared of eating in the 90s.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I hope that I haven't used salt as that example when I'm actually thinking of something else. But there are lots of examples of things that they're lied to nutritionally now they're like, oh, actually, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Or science. Everything in moderation. Whatever.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even using Santa as an excuse.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Danny, what's coming up for you?
Oh, guys, I'm just learning and growing as an individual.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm becoming more patient, fighting against Christmas. Which, by the way, whenever I read a story like the guy who fought with his parents, 3 years of fighting with your parents over your porn stash, that just takes a toll on the body and mind. Now, when you say
porn stash, it makes it sound like I have like a little thin like mustache.
Sorry, no, his porn stash, as in his treasure trove.
Yeah.
And so when I think about fighting this battle with Christmas and pixie gifts, what I think is, do I really want to fight a battle for 10 years like Tyson did? Is it worth it? So before I engage in any battle, I have to decide whether or not the outcome is worth the energy.
So really what you have to do Danny, is you have to say, what did you guys all do with your gifts from last year? Can you show them to me? What have you used them for?
That's a good one.
As everyone goes through, it's like, oh, I threw mine away. Oh, mine's in the garage. I'm just waiting to throw it away. That's essentially like the two uses of the gifts are they either are in the landfill or they're waiting till the enough time has passed to put them in the landfill.
Danny, could you get your own gift?
Yeah, you know, I just thought about something. What do they call a conscientious objector? I think that maybe I'll remove myself from the selection process and be like, yeah, I'm out. I mean, then it makes me look like a total Don Kedick. But
in the future, they could be like, he's a pioneer. He's the guy who made this possible. There always needs to be that guy.
Yeah, right? That's true. I'll be that guy, the hero. The hero of Christmas. So that's what I'm working on. Destroying Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. Well done, Danny. You are on your way.
Gotta get started early.
You're our hero.
All right. Danny, great job once again. Tyson, what's coming up for you?
Pickleball, more national pickleball.
Holidays, traditions that you're trying to completely upend?
No, I've already done that. And I mean, I do that a little bit each year.
How about creating a pickleball holiday? Maybe you should get to work.
I think they already have pickleball day.
They do.
What?
Yeah.
On like that little calendar that Rob uses from time to time, it would show up.
Yes. I believe so.
You should know. You're the ambassador for pickleball.
I am the world's number one personal
your Christmas
pickleball personality. Yeah, it should be. But I just got pickleball stuff going on. Yeah.
Pickleball day actually just passed. It was August 8th.
We're going to start a pickleball podcast.
Yes.
Pickle pod, maybe. The golden pickle. What do you think?
I like pickle pod more than the gold. I mean, I feel like if you could be the first one to get there and plant your flag on pickle pod.
Now that you've announced it out loud, though, you better get on it right now.
I think we're already in the works here.
I'm going to go get it right now.
Okay. And charge a premium for it. Yeah. So I think we're going to do that. That should be our first episode should be coming out in the next week or so. And where we just cover all things in the pickleball world, pickleball related. And other than that, I'm going to San Diego next week on Thursday for some poker and also some pickleball.
Will you visit the zoo? I know how much you love zoos.
I do. And I went to San Diego Zoo this year already.
Oh, yeah.
So
late.
And I don't go to zoos by myself. If I can find a group of people, I'll go. Or if my kids are with me, I will go. Mm-hmm. Or if it's free, I would go. Like some city zoos are free. I would wander into a free city zoo. Yeah, no sweat.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, so, Rob?
Yeah, I attended a zoo in Washington, D.C. With Tyson. If I recall, I think there was a lot of sweat. I think it was a very muggy day.
And it was a free zoo, I believe, right? Or very nearly free? It was cheap.
Maybe it was free.
I think it was free. Sweating from excitement.
No, it was humid.
Yeah. All right.
But it was a fun time. It's a fun place to walk and socialize, and then you get to see these animals you never see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at Danny shaking his head.
You guys know my stance on zoos.
All right. Yes. William in the chat says it's free. There you go.
Yeah. It's free. St. Louis Zoo is also free, a very good one.
Yeah. All right. Well,
so, yeah.
We talked about the third best season of Survivor last night on the podcast.
What was it?
Survivor Pearl Islands.
So, number three.
So does Tyson have any left?
Yeah, Heroes versus Villains. Which will probably be number one, but maybe number. What are the two left?
Well, I can tell you that next week we're going to talk. We announced the number two podcast last night.
And who's that?
That's going to be Survivor Cagayan.
Oh, okay. So Heroes versus Villains.
We didn't announce number one yet.
But we know what it is based on.
Maybe.
Unless it's an Australian.
Could be.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I look forward to seeing what the number one is. And that's super exciting for me. And
what else, Rob? Any other shows?
No, we're just covering Big Brother. And of course, the Survivor 41 cast has dropped. Tyson broke the exclusive news on a lot of the cast, but they announced the cast in toto this week.
Yeah.
Did you like Salad Face make it?
Salad face. Salad face. It must have been season 42 that I was leaking.
Yeah. Or salad face didn't pass medical.
Yeah. Must have gotten caught.
I bet you did.
Yeah. So really a bummer. But, you know, they'll call him back if they like him that much. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that maybe I got 42 stuff.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps. We'll see.
All right. It's going to be a shortened season. I do know that.
Yeah. Shorter season, but harder, Danny.
I'm telling you right now that literally Survivor is not difficult until about day 26.
But you weren't playing the hard version of the game.
That's what I'm saying. So if they're playing the hard version where there's like a tribal council every other night throughout the entire thing and they're giving them absolutely no food.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine. If it's that hard, but usually there's enough food to kind of feel okay until about like day 27, 28, 29, 30. And then that last week to week and a half is a real grind.
Okay. All right. Let's see how it goes. All right. So that's going to do it for us here on News AF. We should be back on Tuesday coming up next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.